Welcome to The Bookshelf. I'm Chris Massini. Tonight, we're bringing you a special preview of Git Lit, Spokane's annual literary festival. The Git Lit Festival takes place in April each year, and it was one of the first major events in Spokane to be affected by the COVID pandemic last year. This year, Git Lit is back with an all-virtual lineup of events, readings, and workshops. The festival will be held April 12th through 18th, and nearly all events can be viewed for free from the comfort of your own home. The full festival schedule is at gitlitfestival.org. To give us a taste of this year's event, I talked with Kate Peterson, Director of Git Lit Programs at Eastern Washington University, and Claire Walla, Assistant Coordinator of Git Lit, which puts on Spokane's annual festival.
Hi, hey, thanks Chris. For having us.
Yeah, thanks.
So as I mentioned, Git Lit 2020 was forced at sort of the very last minute to go to a virtual format. So before we talk about this year, tell us about last year. Like, you were sort of the first people to try to figure out how to do a virtual event. What was that process like?
Well, it was pretty stressful. I remember it was about 40 days when we actually had to cancel it. Nobody really knew what was going to happen yet or how long the pandemic was going to last. It had just been declared. So that was pretty stressful, trying to sort of convince Eastern that there's no way that this thing's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
But once Inslee shut everything down on, I think that was that Friday the 13th, that's when we knew, we were going to have to figure something else out. Back then, I think a lot of people were pretty stressed and trying to figure out, what to do with their kids who are coming home and trying to figure out what to do with work and everything. So we didn't have a ton of festival authors who were really gung-ho about doing something digital in that next couple of weeks. But we did have some folks who were able to send us some video of themselves reading. And so we were able to, showcase, I think, maybe about 15 or 16 authors on our Instagram Live and put them, quickly made a YouTube channel and, got all of that sorted out. So we were able to do something pretty small last year, but this year is going to be very robust. It's going to be as close to a regular festival as we can get over Zoom. We're still going to have tons of great conversations and readings and, everything, like I said, as close to the real festival as we can get.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm sure, like we all hoped, that this pandemic wouldn't go on as much as it had, then we would have had an in-person event this year. But you've had time to plan this time around.
Yep.
So you've really leaned into the virtual format. So what are some of the events that you're most excited about this year?
I think I'm really excited about all of them. It's going to be awesome to be able to see them all this year and go to everything, which is not normal for me.
Yeah.
But some of the ones that are focusing on the climate crisis, I think, are most near and dear to my heart. I'm excited to have Robin Wall Kimmerer and Amy Nizuka Matadl and Johanna Stobrock for our creativity in the climate crisis event. So that one's one of the ones I'm most excited about. What about you, Claire?
How about you, Claire?
It's hard to say because, of course, I'm excited for all of them. And having pre-recorded about half of our events so far, I know that they're all great. I've really enjoyed them. It's hard to know what to expect when you're doing something totally different than what you've done before. But just off the top of my head, based on what we've done recently, I think that Git Lit has been able to do more and experiment with different genres than it has before because of the virtual format. We've been able to have people from different places across the country. We just did a panel with graphic novelists about the graphic novel genre, and that was really interesting. I didn't know much, so it was really fun having those guests and hearing them talk about the graphic novel.
So you mentioned you're pre-recording some of the events, which, has the benefit of, like you said, Kate, you can actually be at more than one place at once when something's happening virtually. And I wonder, as you've sort of developed this virtual festival, have there been any benefits? We all wish right now we're sort of chomping at the bit to be back in person, but I wonder, what have the benefits been of planning a virtual Git Lit festival this year?
I think there's been tons of benefits. We had an event with Ashley Wurzbacher, a fiction writer who went to Eastern's MFA program, and she was saying that, of course it's fun to travel all around the country and do these tours, but sometimes if you're in a small town, there may be four people in the crowd, at a bookstore. But here you're able to, you know, definitely reach a wider audience and have a lot more eyeballs on your event. I think for me personally, my family's in New Jersey and they've never been able to see what I do before. So that's going to be really fun to share the events with them and have family and friends watching. And for Claire too, you know, for all the interns that work on Get Lit, you know, it'd be great for them to actually have their family see some of these events. I feel like there's tons of benefits to it, although I'm very excited to get back into doing it in person again.
Yeah.
But I think it has been really nice to, you know, just to be able to, I think it is going to be nice for people to be able to watch these events at home in their pajamas from their couch. You know, I think it's going to allow people maybe who might not have been able to come physically to be able to see the event. So again, just a wider audience is one of the main benefits.
Yeah.
Also, some of the events will be available for at least a couple months. Many of the events will be available for a year, so people will be able to watch them.
You're listening to The Bookshelf from Spokane Public Radio, and my interview with Kate Peterson and Claire Walla, organizers of Spokane's Get Lit Festival, which is taking place online this year, April 12th through 18th. As always, Get Lit features lots of local writers as well as authors from around the country. One familiar name is Brooke Mattson, award-winning poet and executive director of Spokane's Spark Central. Brooke will be back at the festival this year as part of a reading and panel discussion Monday evening titled Unmaking the Patriarchy of the Mind. Here's Brooke Mattson reading two poems from her 2019 collection, In Accelerated Silence.
How to Eat a Pomegranate. Don't think about the consequences. Let the primal need to know fill you with salt. You will carry its tight belly in the pocket of your heavy coat for 3 days. Embrace the weight of the question, a ripe confession, a tight-lipped guest. I know you'd rather have a simple task, a fruit with a softened peel, a puckered cheek that yields to a dull edge. But that's not why you're here. If this is sacrifice, don't dilute the amplitude of the act. One muscled blow will sling your skin with magenta. When you begin, an absence will open at the back of your throat. Like an astronaut entering space feels the floor fall away, don't hesitate. Use your hands to scrape the seeds like answers to your tongue. You will lap jelly from your palms, bend your fingernails backward with asking. Do not be ashamed of the bold carpet stain, its red, relentless proof. Broaden the subject. In kindergarten, the teacher asked what kinds of things are red, and arms rocketed toward the ceiling with apples, fire trucks, roses. I raised my hand and said, anything can be red, like a sweater or a crayon. And Mrs. Curley's face fell and said, no, things that are always red. But my favorite apple is yellow, I thought, the same frustration as when my friend tells me to broaden my focus, to think about moving on to another metaphor. And maybe I am a bull anchored to what hurts, charging sentences at what I cannot understand, a cluster of small hands firing into the air like flags, symbols of how the world ought to be. I ought to let it go, maybe. I return to red, 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 because I cannot let it go or turn my head the way most people focus on the positive. Flower, not blood. Pomegranate, not wound. Maybe I am the narrow, hot line at the edge of the visible spectrum, inching toward invisible, bordering on irrelevant. I want this to be relevant. I want everyone to understand that anything can be read, usually when someone or something splits open.
That was poet Brooke Mattson, one of several local writers taking part in this year's virtual Get Lit Festival. Let's return now to my conversation with festival organizers Kate Peterson and Claire Walla. As always, GitLit does such a good job of highlighting both local and national and international literary talent. So what are some of the headlining events and the big name authors you have this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have our very own Jess Walter, who's going to be doing an event with Essie Adugan, who wrote a novel called Washington Black. And so both of them have historical novels that are very timely and are dealing with topics that are really important to us today, talking about race and class. And so that's one of our main headlining events. And then the other event that I mentioned earlier, Creativity in the Climate Crisis, with Robin Wall Kimmerer, Amy Nuzuka Matadl, and Johanna Stobrock. Johanna is not a Spokane writer, but she's from Walla Walla, I believe, right? Yeah. And so she's more, a regional writer that we're pairing up with some wonderful people from out of town. We also have R.O. Kwan, who was one of the authors who was going to be taking part last year. She was going to be one of our headliners in 2020. She's doing an event around the anthology that she helped to create called Kink. And so we're really excited about that event. Ellen Bass is coming, and so that's really fun and exciting for us. We've got We the Indigenous on Monday night as our kickoff event. And so that also is kind of pairing some regional writers like Tiffany Midge up with people who we were going to have last year. Jake Skeets is a poet who's going to be taking part in that event. What else? We've got Pie and Whiskey, of course. That's always got a great lineup of people from both in town and from outside. Steve Almond is one of the headliners for that event this year. That's kind of going to be a throwback to some of the favorite people that we've had in the past for Pie and Whiskey. And obviously, Pie and Whiskey is one of the most fun events for people, and they get to come down. And, that's a really big community event, and it's really wonderful to see how many people we get out for that event each year. So it is sad that we won't be able to do that in person, but we do have Kate Lebo, one of the creators of that event, is doing Pie School the night before, the afternoon before. She's going to be doing a class where people can learn how to make pie, so that way we're thinking people can make their own at home, and then on Thursday they'll be able to enjoy that pie, at home.
Bring your own pie and whiskey this year.
Yeah, you gotta bring your own whiskey too. Yeah.
Speaking of pie and whiskey, if you're not familiar with that part of Spokane's GitLit Festival, here's one of the event's co-hosts, Samuel Ligon, giving a little context. This is from the introduction to the Pie and Whiskey Anthology, which was published in 2017.
Pie and Whiskey started in 2012 as a reading in Spokane, Washington. The idea was to serve good pie, good whiskey, and good writers reading prose or poetry about pie and whiskey. We thought there was something right about the combination. Pie in your left hand, whiskey in your right. We thought there was something weirdly American about it, too. Saturday night debauch meets Sunday morning brunch. Cowboys don't walk into saloons and order gin. We don't say, American as motherhood and apple cake. That first year, we lined up 12 writers to read for 5 minutes each. Get Lit, Spokane's literary festival, agreed to host us at the Spokane Women's Club. We asked Don Poffenroth of Dry Fly Distillers to donate the whiskey. He gave us 6/5, which we thought would be plenty. We baked 10 pies and hoped 50 people would come, a pretty good audience for a reading. The night of the show, over 300 people piled into the Women's Club or waited in line outside. We did it again the next year and 400 people showed up. We poured 2 cases of whiskey and we baked 20 pies. We'd said from the beginning that Pie and Whiskey should be about the pie, the whiskey, and the reading, in that order. Whiskey alone is no different from any gathering of writers. Pie alone is a family affair, and most readings put people to sleep. At Pie and Whiskey, there is no sleeping. It's not a family affair either, or a drunken affair. The readings are by adults, for adults, but no one gets too out of hand. People have a good time with friends and strangers, and they let their guard down. 5 years, 8 readings, 500 gallons of whiskey, and 30,000 square feet of pie later, we hope you'll join us for Pie and Whiskey near you, or throw your own, or check out the book and enjoy our meditations on sugar and booze. As the Irish say, what butter and whiskey won't cure, there is no cure for.
That was Sam Ligon reading the introduction to the Pie and Whiskey Anthology. Pie and Whiskey is an annual part of Spokane's Get Lit Literary Festival, which is taking place virtually this year, April 12th through 18th. Bring your own pie and whiskey. You can find the full schedule at getlitfestival.org. Let's return now to my conversation with the festival's organizers, Kate Peterson and Claire Walla.
So in addition to all the readings and events, there's also workshops, which are always part of Get Lit, but of course a little bit different this year because they're happening virtually. What can you say about those virtual workshops, which includes Pi School? That's one of them.
Yep, Pi School is one. Those are going to be really exciting. We have four of them. They're going to be on Friday and Saturday mornings. We've got Michael Kleber-Diggs for poetry, Ruth Joffrey for fiction. Amy Nzukumatadl is doing a hybrid class on poetry and nonfiction. And then Tiffany Midge is doing a poetry workshop for us. And those are the only events that are ticketed this year. We do have, obviously, Pi School, where you'll be buying a book from Auntie's to be able to come to that event. And, of course, we're asking for donations for a lot of the other events. But those are the only ones, and we're really thrilled that we're able to offer those at just $35 each. So we're hoping that, they're already starting to sell out. We just put them on sale a couple of days ago. So we're really excited about that people are sort of itching to do something a little bit interactive. And so we're glad that we're going to be able to offer those for people.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, almost all the events are free this year, except for the workshops. Mm-hmm. And many events are free at Get Lit in person in past years, but there usually are some ticketed events, mm-hmm. and it's a fundraiser as well that helps fund the festival. So
yep.
I'm curious, how's the budget of Get Lit? Is it going to affect your ability to put on future events in person next year, or how are you all doing in that sense?
Yeah. Well, we were lucky enough to get a couple of grants this year. One I can talk about is the Spokane Literary Arts Emergency Fund. And so that's helping us to be able to fund quite a lot of the headliners that we usually bring in. Also, one silver lining is that a lot of people are sort of cutting their fees down this year. Some of the headliners that we normally have, some of them up to half of what they would normally get for an in-person event. We're also not having to pay for hotels and venues, which, of course, is sad for our community because we want to support those hotels and venues. But that's been helping us out a lot, too. And we were pretty much ready to go last year. And so we did have some funding prepared for the festival. We also have a great sponsor, the Japanese American Citizens League here in Spokane, was helping us to fund one of our events. So we had some sponsors lined up for last year. We had a little bit of money ready to go. So, of course, this is hopefully going to just pay for itself, you know, as it usually does. And next year, we're going to have to kind of start from scratch in trying to find some funding for the in-person festival. We're thinking it might end up being a little bit smaller than usual next year, just because we have no idea what the world is going to look like next April anyway. we've been lucky in terms of being able to get grants, being able to afford people we normally would never be able to afford. Also, one of the other ways that we're helping to pay for the festival this year is we're creating a lot of really fun merch. So we have t-shirts, we have face masks. We're working with Doma Coffee Roasting Company, who's always been awesome to us, and they're one of our sponsors this year, and they're going to be giving us some coffee bags, some special festival coffee that they make for us each year. So we're going to be selling those on our website and also at From Here in the downtown mall. So we're hoping that people will come down and check out that merch and learn more about the festival that way, and then also go on our website and see what we're offering. We're also included in some of that merch is a project that we're doing with Spokane Print and Publishing Center, where we're publishing these really awesome tiny chapbooks. We're starting a series with them, and so this is going to be the first book in that series, and it's a short story by R.O. Kwan that we're going to be publishing with SPCC, and those will also be on sale on our website and at From Here.
Yeah, so people can still get their swag,
yes.
and they can still get their books, all the normal things you'd see at a literary festival.
Yep, 100%.
Great.
This is The Bookshelf from Spokane Public Radio, and a special preview of the 2021 Get Lit Festival, which is happening virtually wherever you are April 12th through 18th. Another poet taking part in this year's event is Cameron McGill. He teaches at Washington State University, and in addition to his writing, is an accomplished musician and songwriter. He'll be co-hosting an event Tuesday evening titled Writing Sounds and Singing Poems, which will feature both poetry and music. Here's Cameron reading two poems from his 2020 collection, Meridians.
The title is 41.9740 degrees north.
87.6782 degrees west. I'm less the buildings I used to live in, and more the strangers passing in their windows. The woman dancing with her baby, holding him high. A man carrying laundry to the bedroom with a beer. I return your shadow to where I found it in me, beside chimneys on Damon Avenue, in an alley piling breath into January. I live in too much silence. There needs to be someone in the car, the room, the bed. The world, in its heartbreak of mastery, wants me undone. To come here knowing nothing should want to speak, except the wind and frost on the grass in shadows of trees on Winnemac. This all starts to sound the same. The city, the block, my assurances, the deficits they make of memory. Yesterday, I met the woman I'd lived with for years, my remembering a bath. Her knees, islands in the cooling water. I'm afraid describing things ruins them. That's not true. It was me who asked what the body wanted and didn't listen for the answer. This is another meridian, 40.1164 degrees north, 88.2434 degrees west. I think of youth as one long summer, incorrectly. Mornings the gray of a horse's pink tongue. Farmers calling in the corn from Thomasboro, surrounded by harvests, tall as men. Gaunting doorways of train stations, sunburnt and matchless at Logan and Water. I've grown away from you, slowly like a fingernail. Where is my sister in her torrential blonde, running skinny in the yard with the neighbor boy who'd later hang himself? How I didn't try to love him. Who, torpedoed by sadness and psychiatry, chased me home, yelling all his mind at the street. The decrepit limousine our lives had been. Here is a promise, the length of my body, that you will take me like a silo of smoke, leaving the cigarette in my father's hand. The dreams I had, forgive me. When spring's tornadoes came, we raced with paper to the basement and drew them.
That was Cameron McGill, one of the writers taking part in this year's Get Lit Festival, hosted by Eastern Washington University April 12th to 18th. Let's return now to my conversation with Kate Peterson and Claire Walla, the organizers of this year's event. Claire, you're a student in the MFA program at Eastern Washington University, and I'm a graduate of that program, and I know being sort of like part of the festival and having your hands in a big literary event like that is always such a fun part of the MFA. So can you talk about what the experience has been like helping plan this as part of your MFA degree?
Yes. Well, I totally believe you. But I'm in the unique position of not having ever been part of the live in-person festival.
Yeah. Over 2 years.
Yeah. It's a unique position because usually the Get Lit GSA is in the position for a year. So this person has been to the festival and has seen how it works and then steps in to help organize the following year's festival. I was lucky enough to come into the program when they were looking for somebody to do the position for 2 years. So not only did I start this job in a year when we had to cancel the festival, so all the planning led up to not much. Yeah. But in my second year now, we're doing the festival, but it's virtual. So I feel so grateful for the experience because it's good to be able to have to I mean, really think on the fly to imagine something that we have never done before. All the pre-recorded events, figuring out how the in-person experience can be translated to Zoom, and all the interaction with authors and imagining events, the creativity it takes to reach out to people and pull people together to create these really unique events that are diverse and interesting. It's all been wonderful and a great experience. And I can't wait to come back next year as a volunteer to actually be part of the in-person festival.
Yeah, to actually rub elbows with some authors and all of that.
Go out for a drink afterwards.
Yeah,
that's actually happened at several of our events. The topics of conversation just get so interesting. Kate and I have been watching all of them, just kind of as virtual audience. And afterward, as we have all experienced when we're in Zooms, you close your computer and that's done. It's out like a light. Mm-hmm. And it would be so nice to be able to talk to people more. But c'est la vie, next year.
Yeah. Well, that's a question I had too with this virtual event. And I know that some of the events are pre-recorded and some of them are going to be live. Mm-hmm. So what's the audience experience going to be like in terms of being able to ask questions or, you know, continue that conversation afterwards with other people who are attending the festival virtually?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're definitely going to be utilizing YouTube's chat feature, so people will be able to ask questions as they're watching on YouTube. We will have some small curated audiences in some of the live Zoom events, so we'll be able to at least have some people asking questions that hopefully some people at home have on their minds to be able to see those conversations happen. We're also going to be providing a Zoom on Sunday, the final day of the festival, where lots of authors, we can't guarantee every author, but lots of the authors are going to be in that Zoom, and we'll have different breakout rooms by topic so people can just kind of jump in and go to have a little bit of a chat with some of their favorite authors. We're also going to be having people come down to From Here, Terrain's store in the downtown mall, just for a book signing on that Sunday as well with Jess Walter. So, of course, social distancing, masks required, you know, following all of the guidelines at the store, et cetera. But that's going to be one small opportunity for people to come down and be able to at least say hi to Jess and say hi to each other. we're definitely hoping that they'll take advantage of that Sunday Zoom event for people who can't come down on Sunday.
Well, it should be a fun community event, even if that community is happening online in virtual space, which it always is fun. So the festival is happening April 12th through 18th. So how can people find out more information and be a part of the virtual event?
Yeah, so if they visit our website, getlitfestival.org, there's tons of buttons there and information about how to view the festival. We have all of our events on SCED, and so there will be links there to direct people to YouTube to be able to watch events straight from YouTube. We're also asking people to use Eventbrite, even if the events are free. That'll be a way to help us out, and it also helps them keep track of what's coming up and get reminders about what events that they've signed up for.
You've been listening to The Bookshelf from Spokane Public Radio, and our special preview episode of Spokane's annual literary festival, Get Lit. The festival is being held virtually this year, April 12th through 18th. You can find the full lineup, schedule, and more festival information at getlitfestival.org. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Massini.